All right. Okay. Before we go any further, I just want to check in again. There's time and space for any questions that anybody has on any of this. I should have mentioned at the beginning of our day, you guys all know we are going to have a follow-up Q&A call in a couple of weeks. When are we going to do that? On the 19th of February at 3 p.m. Eastern. So for sure you'll be able to ask any follow-up questions there after hopefully you've tested some of this for some of you. But I do want to just give a lot of space as we move throughout the day for any questions. So anything anybody needs before we continue on, star two. Tina.
Could you just repeat the time on February 19th? I missed that for some reason.
3 to 4 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. All right. Let's keep on going. So just to recap for a brief moment, so far we've looked at energetics, right, and just how important who you are being and the beliefs and the perspectives and the energy that you're bringing to the call is. It's really bar none. It is the most important piece. And again, no need for myth of perfection here, right? Because we're all human beings. We've all got our stuff. I've definitely got my stuff. But we want to bring just the awareness to it, right? We want to just use some of the practices that we looked at to come in as clean and open as possible to be able to really create the deep relationship, the bond, the love, the feeling seen, heard, and loved. And then we took a look at, you know, just some things to begin creating that container and that relationship before the actual conversation. We looked at the importance of setting intentions towards the beginning of the call after we've said hellos and just established a warm couple of words together, and then from there looking at activating gap and honoring where the prospect is in their process currently. And then from there, moving into activating vision and really creating space for the prospect to lean into what it is that they truly desire. Up until this point in the conversation, really we've been focusing fully on the prospect, right? As you guys can see, we haven't mentioned our work at all, actually, right? We haven't spoken about our work in any way. We've really just been focusing on the client's experience and desires. So the next part of the conversation is where we begin. We always focus on the prospect. It's all prospect focused, even when we speak about our work, right? But it's not until this point in the conversation that we even start speaking about the work. So the next part of the conversation, the part of the process is I call it the bridge. So what the bridge is at this point so far in the process, we've established where the prospect is right now, and we've also established where they desire to be in the future. So what needs to be addressed next is how are they going to get from where they are now to where they're going to be? How are they going to get from point A to point B? And the idea is that the way that they're going to get there is whatever steps they need to take are steps that we can help them with, are steps that we can support them with, are steps that we will hold their hand in one way or another as they go through it. So in other words, this part of the conversation is kind of the next step in starting to build a belief in the result and supporting the prospect to help them feel like they want to achieve the result, like it's possible to achieve the result. And also that they want to achieve the result with your support, so that they start to see that your support, that what you have to offer, that your tools, that your skills, that your processes, that the experience that you're going to provide or whatever it is, are the exact ingredients that are needed for them to get from their point A to their point B. That it's like personalized for them. So in other words, in order to move through the bridge part of the process, you as the practitioner, as the salesperson, need to know how to communicate how you're going to be valuable and support your client, your prospect, to create results for themselves. So, for example, when I'm speaking to a prospect about my Sacred Depths coach training, let's say that so far in the conversation, in the gap part of the conversation, the prospect has told me, you know, they really love the work that they're doing with clients, but they find that you know, there are some clients that aren't showing up for sessions, that don't feel as engaged as they could be. Maybe the prospect has told me that, you know, they feel like they're doing good work with their clients, but they just don't feel like their clients are going deep enough. They're not really creating the transformations that they'd like to create. Maybe they feel like their own clients are getting stuck in places and they don't know how to get them out of those places. And then maybe as we're looking at vision, this prospect has told me, you know, what they deeply desire is to just be able to harness all of their value and really show up for their clients in order to co-create incredible results, in order to feel like they are really helping co-create transformation, that they're able to move their clients through their obstacles, and that they don't have so many clients that are kind of like pooping out or not showing up or not doing the homework or, you know, all the things, right? So when I would get to the next portion of the process, this bridge part, again, I want to bridge where they are now to where they want to be. I'm going to lay out a couple of, you can almost think of a bridge, you know, like a plank. So it's almost like they see plank by plank by plank by plank. It's like they're on one side of a chasm is where they are now. They want to get to the other side of that chasm. We need to lay out, we need to paint a picture for them, plank by plank by plank by plank, how they're going to get to where they have shared that they are ready to go, that they feel like this is what they want, right? So, if, for example, in that scenario that I gave, what I may say to the prospect is, I'll actually just say a lot of what I just said. I'll say, you know, so we, you know, so far we've kind of taken a look at, you know, so here's where you're at and here's where you'd like to be. And then I'll say, I believe 110% that you have the potential to get there. It's going to take some work, but I really believe that you have the potential to get there. Now, of course, as a side thing, if I don't believe that, I'm not going to say that to the person, right? That would be out of integrity. I'm only going to continue with this conversation if I believe that they can achieve their results and that I can help support them achieve their results, right? So then from there, I'm going to say, in order for us to get there, you know, if we were to work together, here are some of the things, based on what you've shared, that we're going to work on. And, you know, because, like I told you, this would be for, let's say, for Sacred Depths, I'll say, and these are all pieces that we would cover in Sacred Depths and more. So first of all, one of the very first places that I think is so important for you to work on in order to create those results is, you know, as we were looking, you know, we heard that you have some fears of not being good enough, and that you have some fears that clients will maybe get upset if you really stretch them, if you really hold up a light and a truth to them. So, you know, one of the places that we move through deeply in Sacred Depths, we actually spend a full month on this, is we really take a look at the fears and at what you're bringing in terms of your energetics in order to really create what I like to call a solid container with your client work, so that they feel that they can trust you, so that they feel vulnerable with you, so that they're willing to go deep. Another area that feels like could be really helpful for you to work on is to go deeper with how to create awareness with clients. And this is also another module. We spend 3 full calls on this. You get all of the details on this. But to really look at how to reflect those hard truths that you've been scared of reflecting to clients, because your clients, as we see, like, they need those truths in order to move towards breakthroughs. And so we'll spend a lot of time both on the inner pieces for that for you, so you don't have to feel so scared, but also I'll give you step-by-step instruction on how to approach a client and share and reflect a hard truth that you're seeing for them. Another area that I think would be so valuable for you, and this is another one of my favorite parts of the program, is to look deeply and learn how to work with befriending your fear. Seems like a lot of your clients, as you were sharing with me, like, they're getting stuck in their fears. They're also getting stuck in their negative thought patterns. And we spend a lot of time in the training. I give you step by step so many different tools. It's like a treasure trove on how to work with different client fears and how to work with different client thought patterns so that you can help them move through those fears instead of getting stuck in them. And then another place that I think would be so helpful for you is working with what I like to call the resistance archetypes. It seems like some of your clients are showing up as the victim, or showing up as the judge, or showing up as the know-it-all, and that's what's really halting their progress in your work together. And there are very specific ways that we want to work with those archetypes, and so we'll get into all of the nitty-gritty details, any fears that are triggers that come up for you when a client shows up as the angry one or the judge or the victim, all that. We'll go through all of that. And then, you know, the other thing I want to mention is you have opportunity in the training to have a coaching partner if you want one. And just from what you've shared, you know, because of some of your timidness, or, you know, feeling like you need to really know a tool before you use it with a client, you'll have such a safe space and sacred opportunity every week to practice all of the tools that you're learning in the program before you go out kind of in real life and use it with clients. There's so many other things that we'll cover in the training that I think would be so valuable for you. Things like how to articulate breakthrough questions. We go really deep into questioning. We look at accountability structures with clients. You know, we look at so many other things. But if I were to kind of pick out some of the biggies, these are the pieces that I think would be so important for you in order to create what you want. And And just so you know, I know sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, that's like, how am I going to get there? It can feel like how am I even going to like step into that information? I want you to know that everybody that steps into the training, they don't know how to yet work with the resistance archetypes. They don't know yet how to befriend your fear, but they learn. So I would take you step by step by step through it. Okay, so we'll pause here. There are some things that I want to share about what I just modeled for you, but first I want to hear from you. What are you hearing in what I just modeled for you? What feels important? What are you seeing? And what questions do you have? Star two. You guys are quiet today. Speak up. Tell me what you're seeing or where you're stumped or where you're like, huh, no. Tina.
Hi, Joanna. So the bridge process that you kind of just took us through, kind of what I got was you want to show the client a picture of the bridge you're offering. So, for instance, you know, you were basically showing them all, or actually saying all the tiers of your program. So, like, I'll give you an example. Like, Susie Jo wants to launch her new spiritual entrepreneur company, and she knows she has gifts, but she doesn't know how to bring them to the world. Well, I see that these things are in your way, boom, 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 and I list them. And then here are some ideas on how I've guided clients, and I can guide you on being able to get you to this place with, and then, you know, for instance, for me, I have energetic tools I can teach you. We do guided meditation, journaling, breathing techniques, and I also, you know, love to help you with the Befriend Your Fear process. I mean, of course, I wouldn't use those words because that's your program, Joanna.
Right.
But, you know, I would make something up, whatever.
Yeah.
So, right?
Yeah. So I love everything that you said until the end. So
yeah.
This is so good. Why all the shares. So yes to everything that you said. I'm painting a picture. I'm showing how they can get from the one point to the other point. I'm sharing how I've successfully done this with other clients, all the things. Now, when you got to the part about you that you could say, journal it, different kind of exercises or energetic techniques, that is all too vague.
And you're
speaking about modalities. You're not speaking about topics.
Oh,
okay.
So that's what I've been doing all along. Oh.
Right. So I'm so glad you're bringing this forward because this is really important and this is a big mistake that people make. So it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's journaling or meditation or this or that or the other thing. What I want to hear you say, and I'm just making up, this may not be the stuff about your work, Tina, but I want to see the very first thing that we're going to do is help you unwind your nervous system because it's so clear that when you go to start working on your blah, 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 your nervous system gets activated and it gets in the way of blah, 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 blah. And so I have a lot of tools. There you can say I have a lot of different kinds of tools to help you with that, but we're really going to go deep into that. And then from there, once we really unwind your nervous system, then it's going to be important for us to really work with your fears, right? Because I heard you mention that you have a fear of X, you have whatever they mentioned, and it doesn't have to be that way. And once we can really clear out those fears, then blah, 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 blah. So does that make sense, what I'm saying?
That totally makes sense. Oh, my gosh. I've been, like, doing my enrollment calls by basically having them, like, you know, on the Zoom call, like, seeing my benefits, and I'm just, like, just naming them off, and no wonder they were, like, overwhelmed, and they're like, oh, okay, like,
yeah, because
like,
it's
and then
not,
I just,
like, it doesn't, right, it's not connective to say, to say, right, like, if you, you know, if you guys heard what I did, was I was very, everything that I said specifically tied back to the prospect's gap and to the prospect's vision. Every topic that I mentioned was a solution to get them from A to B. And it was very personalized to their needs.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Guys, I'm on the call. Excuse me. My parents are, like, barking in the background. But, no, I totally, totally understood that. So I'm totally going to try a different technique of instead of naming off just bullet points, which is so blasé, I'm going to really get specific on, like you said, unwinding the nervous system, bringing you back into parasympathetic, like naming it.
Connecting in with your body wisdom, right? So this is homework for everybody on the call. If you are if you haven't, you're welcome, and I'm so glad you're bringing this forward. So this is for homework for everybody on the call. If you haven't yet gotten clear, this doesn't have to be an exhaustive list, but if you haven't yet at some point in your marketing or just for yourself articulated what are some, again, of these bridge pieces, right? What are some of these pieces that you really help people with? If you haven't broken it down, I want you to make a list of that so that you can just have it for your sales conversations. Now, other pieces may come up that you may make up on the spot because you know that you can do that with clients or it's involved, right? But it's good to have a little bit of a list to draw from. And again, it's not the modality, right? It's not the meditation. It's not the acupuncture. It's not the journaling exercise. It's the topics that are the antidotes to the problems to get the prospect from point A to point B. So as another example, when I'm speaking to a prospect, let's say, about business coaching, right, and again, it's all personalized, depending on what they say in their gap in their vision, I may say, you know, the very first thing that we're going to work on is creating more space for you and opening up your schedule because it's clear that there's no room for growth. There's no room even for you that you've got a lot of fears and limiting beliefs that are holding you back from opening up space, and we're going to work both on the inner outer to open up space. From there, the next place we're going to look at is your offerings and your programmings. It's clear that it's time to raise your rates. It's also clear that some of the programs need to shift. You know, based on what you shared, that you have a long waiting list of people. I want us to also start to look at how to create group programs, blah, 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 right? So I'm laying out step by step the antidote to the issues to get them from where they are to where they want to be moving forward. Alana.
It feels like a long time ago, I think. it was kind of along those lines, but I actually felt, and maybe because you were talking specifically about the Sacred Depths program, that even in your answer, I got a little bit like clouded and lost. It was like, well, we're going to do this module and this module. So I know you were connecting it back to the person, but it felt almost a little bit granular for me listening to it, and that might be because I wasn't prepared for the call. You know, I didn't come in.
Right. Well, and we didn't go through, like, gap in vision for that particular person. You don't have to get – if you don't feel comfortable getting that granular, you don't have to. But I would get as specific as possible so that you can really paint that picture for the prospect to see. So I know you had mentioned to me beforehand, you know, you're about to launch a program, right? So mm-hmm. in that program, and with programs, it's almost easier, the bridge pieces in some ways, because it's really like what's each module of the program or each section of the program.
Right.
So talk to us just a little bit about, like, the journey that that people go through in that program. Like, what are each of the sections? What are the purposes of each of the sections?
Yeah, so it's, the program is sort of it's a combination of one-on-one and group work, so it's not just the group piece,
mm-hmm.
But the idea is first, connecting into your creative life force energy, and then Again, with things like calming the nervous system, quieting the inner critic, doing those pieces. And then we move, each module is sort of topic-based, and we look at different, like we move into, we use memory as a way, as an access point in, and then we move into, so there's sort of different pieces to it in the group. But it's about being, the group process is about like generating work together and then also having time on the call to do your own creative work so you're not just getting homework and having to go away and do it, like actually yeah. having time as part and getting feedback and support and accountability so that at the end of each, and then that's mixed with like one-on-one where you're getting more specific like feedback on your pieces and craft work with me and stuff like that.
Awesome. Okay, beautiful. So you just named a lot of different bridge pieces. I wouldn't use all of them with any one mm-hmm. prospect, but you're going to mix and match based on what their gap and what their vision is. So like for one particular person, you might say like, you know, we're, it, because it came out in the gap in the vision, like, you know, one of the big foundational pieces for you, and we're going to go so deep into this, is looking at your inner critic, right? Because you're already mm-hmm. an amazing writer, but it's so clear that that inner critic is actually getting in the way of you unleashing your full creative potential. And so we're going to do a lot of deep work for you to unwind that inner critic. Another really important foundational piece is, I know that you said you don't have enough space in your life to do your creative writing, that you end up getting distracted, you know, this and that, and that's why I think it's going to be so valuable for you that in each and every one of our group calls, we actually, in the container, there's time for writing. So it will, you'll mm-hmm. already have this built-in space for you to not be distracted and for you to really focus and integrate all of the tools. And another piece is blah, 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 right? So
yeah.
You would tailor each of those. And some of those, I want to point out for everybody, some of those are content pieces, like the inner critic. And then some of those are format pieces, like time for creative writing. And so mm-hmm. you can mix and match content and format pieces based on somebody's needs.
And if somebody were to ask, like you know, if I said, okay, so we're going to spend time, you know, quieting inner critic and opening the creative channel, whatever, and they'd be like, well, how? And then you could speak about the modalities if they ask you.
You can speak a little bit. You can speak a little bit about the modalities, but I wouldn't go too deep into it because it's like, that's where it's like they can't, the transformation is going to sound flat
mm-hmm.
if you try to explain the, it's kind of like the goddess versus the alphabet for anyone that's read that book, right? It's like when we go into our magic transformative processes, describing them isn't always as exciting as what they actually are when you're in it, right? So sometimes I'll even say, like, especially if I'm talking about shadow, you know, when I do shadow training, I'm like, it's so magical. You know, I can't even describe in words all of the pieces, but we will go deep in for you to see your shadows and to actually take the shame out of them, to lean into them so that you start to own and love these parts of yourself that up until then you've completely rejected and hidden in shame. And usually that's enough. Like, people won't ask.
So you focus
that.
More on the result. Is what you do.
Exactly.
What you just did is went back to the result.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of the process, but not then we do this and then we do this. It's kind of like the high level of the process plus the result. Is that helpful?
Okay. Yep.
Awesome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good. Show.
Oh, hey, Joanna. So the bridging the pieces. I start when I was listening to, you know, the woman that was on before, like talking about what she did and also the conversation about the sacred depths. If you're not, if you don't have that vocabulary, you know, like coaching vocabulary, it can then suddenly not hit the mark, because I felt myself glazing a little bit.
Right. So that, again, that would be if I, you know, we didn't do the beginning part of the gap in vision with that prospect. That would be if those topics came up, like that they mm-hmm. would already recognize some of the ideas in the vocabulary mm-hmm. because I would have pulled those out
okay.
from the gap in the vision. But yes, you always want to use you want to use vocabulary that the prospect is going to resonate with.
Okay, so like for, you know, what I do, like, and of course, you know, with the Chinese medicine, we have a very particular, there's a language, it's metaphorical and to a degree. It's good that it's different because it allows for someone to, like, not go back to their own definition. It kind of forces mm-hmm. them to expand, you know, through the vocabulary, something different to kind of step out of the same old or going into, oh, I know that already, or I do that already. And at the same time, there is a part that is an educational part. And so in some cases, I believe that when I'm having a conversation, like doing the gap, that I can get like very detailed.
Detailed. Yeah.
Yeah, beyond what they really even need to, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they're curious, but they don't need to know, well, how does that work? Well, why does that work?
Right. Yeah, no, you don't. That's similar to what Alana was just saying. Yeah, you don't want to get to those, like, such, you know, this is how it works, and because that can get confusing for people.
Exactly, yeah. And then they get focused off of that, yeah, then it can create doubt, actually, because then suddenly there's confusion for them. Okay.
Yeah. If it's helpful, you can think of it this way. If you ever go to, like, a historic home or something like that, and you get a tour of the historic home, usually mm-hmm. the tour is, like, you're walking through the hallways, and you stop at the outside of each room, and the tour guide shares what this is, the living room, you know, it was used for these purposes, you know, this, and that. But you don't actually, like, there's usually a rope at the door. You don't actually, like, go into the living room and inspect all the pieces of furniture and all of that. That's, you're kind of being that tour guide of the house.
Okay, yeah, you get a little bit of like, oh, wow, that's how they did that, but you don't really,
exactly, good. Okay, good, the bridge is in some ways the toughest part of the conversation for practitioners and can cause confusion, and that's because this is the part of the conversation where you as the practitioner are required to stand up and be the expert and be in your genius and be empowered in what your specialties are and to demonstrate that your work is valuable. And as we've seen already so far today, like that's, you know, that is a challenging place for some of us. When I say we're the expert, I don't mean expert over. I just want to be clear. I always 100% trust another individual's inner wisdom around what is right for them. But we do need in the conversation at this point to give our expert opinion on what we sense is going to be required and helpful and valuable for someone to achieve what they have shared that they desire. So if you're sitting here right now and you're like, oh, I don't want to do this part of the conversation, or you're going into some kind of resistance of like, oh, Joanna doesn't know what she's talking about, we don't need this here, you know, or this is confusing or whatever, just check in to make sure that it's not your fear of standing in your expertise. As I've said already a number of times, we want to, throughout the entire conversation, we want to be in integrity and we want to be honest, right? And so I'm honest about the work that it takes, you know, for people to achieve whatever it is that they want to achieve. I'll say, like, you'll get, there are going to be breakthroughs that happen right away and shifts that you'll see right away, which is so true. But I'll also say, but to master this, it takes X, Y, and Z, and it takes this practice, and it takes this looking, or it takes this amount of time. So we want to be, as we share the bridge, we do want to be very honest about what's possible and about the work that it takes. Again, so that, you know, just for ourselves, right, because we're people of integrity, but also so that we don't create a setup where somebody says yes to working with us and then they have unrealistic expectations, which puts pressure on us and pressure on them. And also, again, because I actually have just seen over and over and over again that that's a great ingredient to making a sale. Anytime I say to someone, look, I have to be honest with you, I really believe that you can achieve X, Y, and Z, but based on what we've been looking at, if you want, you know, if we're going to work together, I need for you to be able to stretch yourself to blah, 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 right? Whatever applies to what they're saying. Like, it's a great tool for someone's ears to perk up and want to work with me more. Because I'm reflecting the truth to them and they know it and I'm seeing them. And that's not a judgment on them, right? I'm seeing all of them and they feel it and they appreciate it. Sometimes in the bridge portion, in addition to sharing the different pieces that are going to be most important for that prospect, the bridge pieces, I may also share something like, you know, and one of the reasons why this would work really well for you is, right, and then I speak to their qualities or their already established resources or situation that's a perfect fit for each of the tools that I share. It's just another way of showing them that they're a really good fit for the work. So the bridge, again, in some ways, I mean, each of the parts of the process have their own challenges, but in some ways the bridge is the most challenging, again, because of the confidence piece and also because you do, and that's why I'm giving you guys this homework, you do want to take the time to just start to articulate what are the different bridge pieces that you help people with. It's important to have those articulated for yourself before the conversations. Still, in some cases, you'll make some stuff up on the fly, but to have a good repertoire of some language around that. Okay. Any other questions on bridge before we go any further? We've still got a lot to look at. Star two. Okay. So, let's keep on going. So you've activated, you've set intentions, you've activated gap, you've activated vision, you've shown how your work together is the bridge from the gap to the vision. Once you get to that point, then you want to ask, and you've shared the bridge, then you want to ask this question. I said that this whole process is you want to personalize it to you. It's not about asking anything in particular, saying anything in particular. But in this point, there's two points in the conversation that there are specific things that I actually want you to say. And after the bridge, there's something specific that I want you to say, which is, we've been sharing, you know, and talking so much together about so many things, so much has come through. I want to pause here and ask you what's resonating for you so far. Now, if resonating isn't your language, use a different language, like what are you hearing that's important for you, or what are you taking away so far, right, whatever it is. But we want to have a moment of pause and at that point, and to hear from the prospect where they're at, what they're seeing, what they're taking, what's resonating. We want to do this for a couple of reasons. Number one, because integration is really important. And it's a moment to give space to the prospect to integrate. A lot of insights, hopefully you see, like, through this conversation, so many insights and awarenesses are going to come through. They're getting so much. So it's actually a moment for them to integrate and to take in more deeply and to express the insights that they're seeing. That's one reason. The other reason why you want to pause and ask them what's resonating is so that you can track where they're at. So what I mean by that is if this person is indeed an ideal client and you've done a good job of activating gap, activating vision, and describing the bridge, then 99.99999% of the time, when you ask your prospect at this point what's resonating for you, based on what they share, you're going to see that they're ready for your offer. You're going to feel, because you're going to see what's resonating for them, right? And hopefully at that point a lot is resonating for them. And there's an excitement that can come through. And they may even say, oh my gosh, I'm really excited. So what do we do next? They may not say that. If they don't say that, that doesn't mean that you're not going to make the sale, right? But it's a moment to kind of get the temperature. Because you want to take the temperature, because the thing that comes directly next after this, you only want to do if you feel like this person is resonating with you, if they feel connected to you, if they feel excited about what you guys are talking about. If they say nothing is resonating, it's not going to happen that they say nothing is resonating, but let's just say that they do, right? Or if they're wishy-washy, then either you just want to end the conversation right there because they're not right for you, or it might be that they are right for you, but they just, like, they need kind of more hits of the awareness that's already been created, and you can reflect back something like, it sounds like you are getting this and this. I also felt like we, went deep into this, and I just want to see if that's resonating for you too. You're almost never going to have to do that. I can count, one time maybe out of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of sales conversations that I've ever had to do that. It's most likely going to be that the person is resonating and excited, unless the very outside chance that they're simply just not ideal, and then you'll know and you can end the conversation there very nicely and, all of that. But in the 99.99999 other percent where they have things that are resonating, where they're seeing so much, where they're excited, all the things, then you're going to move on to the next step, to a magic question. Well, first you'll reflect back, right? Whatever they say, reflect back to them. And then the next step is the magic question, which is, would you be interested in learning more about how we can work together? Would you be interested in learning more about how we can work together? If they're on a call and they know it's for a specific program, then the question, you might modulate it a little bit to, would you be interested in learning more about the blah, blah, blah program, right? Why is this question important? This question is important because what's coming next is you're going to invite them to step into working with you. But you want to get permission to invite them. Permission is a powerful, powerful thing, right? When they say yes, they would be interested, they're giving you permission to make the sale, and then you don't have to feel icky at all about inviting them, making the sale. It's also powerful for the prospect to say, yes, I'm interested, because it notes to their psyche or their mind, or I don't know, whatever it is, that, like, yes, they're interested, they want more, right? It kind of pulls that in even more. And again, I promise you, like pinky promise, if someone, after you've asked what's resonating and they tell you and you can see that they're resonating and all that, when you say, would you be interested in learning more about how we can work together, 9 times out of 10, they are going to say yes. They may say, yes, I'm scared about how much it costs. That will, every now and again, it will happen, right? But if you've gotten this far and you've done all these things correctly, again, not perfectly, none of this is perfection, but if you've been in the ballpark of it, gotten this far, they're going to say yes. Okay, so then what happens next? Well, so this is where you have some choices. I generally, if you're new to sales, I generally recommend a 2-call process. The second call is much shorter than the first. It's, you know, 15 minutes. But if you're new to sales or have been struggling with sales, the reason why I recommend a 2-call process is because, and you'll see why when I share with you, when you move it into like giving them some homework and then having a follow-up call, it just helps to cement in all of the gap pieces, all of the vision pieces, all of the bridge pieces, all of the desire, looking at the resistance, you know, all the things. So you can choose at that point to have a 2-call process, and I'll get to that in a little bit. Or if you at that point feel like this person is ideal, I feel like they're super excited, and especially if they happen to know the price beforehand, but even if they don't, like if you feel like I feel like they're 90% in, then you can work to close the sale right then on that call. So if you take that choice, the 1-call choice, at that point, after you say to someone, would you be interested in learning more about how we can work together, and they say yes, you say, great, I'm so excited, I was hoping you would say that because I feel so connected and I feel like it would just, we would make such a perfect match, or you would be so perfect for this program, like whatever you're going to say there, and then share all the details of it, right? So if it's going to be, if you're going to close the sale on that call, that's where you would share, you know, what they would receive, just a little bit about the format. We would have this many calls or, you know, whatever it is, right? You have access to me in between sessions, whatever it is for you and whatever you're offering. And then share the price. And I oftentimes, I have a monthly plan for most things, I will share the paid in full and the monthly right then and there, because sometimes the paid in full might scare people, right? Depending on what you're selling and whatever it is, but the monthly, you know, seems doable, right? And after I share all of that, I will say, how does that land for you? Or what do you think about that? Or, you know, what do you think about moving forward? Now, a 1-call process, as I kind of mentioned earlier, is riskier than a 2-call process, particularly if they don't know the rate going into it, because you're dropping it, you know, in there, right then and there. And they may not be ready to make a decision right then and there. I want to speak about this for a moment. A lot in the transformation industry is about, let's do this. Zara, you mentioned a little bit about this before. I know you weren't coming from this perspective, Zara, but a lot of other people do, like, do this in 15 minutes and get the person to buy right then and there. And for some people, that works for the prospect to just buy right then and there. But for many people, the way that they make decisions, the way that their aligned decision-making process works, is that they need some time for integration before they say yes. And I will just share with you guys, I am that person. unless I've worked with someone before and I just know I want to continue or I know I want to work with them again, I would never say yes on the spot to someone. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to say yes in a follow-up call. Most of the time people don't offer the follow-up call, though. They pressure, and then I'm just out, right? But the reason that I personally need time, and a lot of people are like this, is because we're intuitive beings. We like to feel into things, and we like we want to feel like we're making the decision on our own terms and not because we're being pressured. I want to let that land for a moment. That's not to say, just so you know, that I haven't done one-call processes. I absolutely have, but it's only when I've felt like the person really is ready. And also I've left open, if after I've mentioned the pricing and what's involved, if they need time, I don't try to pressure them into buying that day for a special price or whatever it is. I'll do that with programs for early birds where there's no sales conversations. That's a different kind of thing. But when there's a sales conversation, and by the way, my truth is not your truth, right? Check this out for yourself and what feels right for you. Now, I'm not talking about letting it go on and on and on, giving them enough time to go into all of their resistance, all of the things. When we do the two-call process, we schedule that second call before we get off the phone with the first call. Hopefully it's within a couple of days, like 3-4 days, if schedules allow. There's very specific homework that's given. I'll explain that. You know, but that we give the individual an opportunity to process and come to a yes that feels good for them. You get less people backing out that way, too. Now, again, not to say that there aren't moments for the one-call sale. There absolutely are, especially in situations where people know the price beforehand. So anyway, if you're doing the one-call sale and it's all the right things are in motion and you share about the thing and you ask them what they're thinking, and then you'll know pretty quick if they're going to buy or not, right? Because I'd be like, yeah, that's awesome, yay, you know? And then you can move on to getting really excited and telling them how happy you are and telling them how you're going to onboard, that you'll get a welcome email and we're going to have a questionnaire, you know, whatever the things you do to get them excited. I don't talk first about, like, let me get your credit card, right? I talk about all the exciting things we're going to schedule and blah, blah, blah. And then after all of that, I'll say, you know, so how would you like to pay? I can take your credit card number right now. You want to, and so this is important, once somebody does say yes, whether it's on a first call or a second call, you want to get the payment information. First, you want to be all excited. You know, you want to jump to it, but you want to get all their payment information. You want to get that deposit down or the paid in full, whatever it is. And if it's one-on-one work, you want to schedule your first call together before you get off the phone. Again, this is about container building. It's so that there's something to look forward to. They know they're in, right? They've already got a call scheduled. It will help avoid people that, like, say they're in and then they don't want to start for months, all of that kind of thing. And then when you get through all of that, I always, before I end a sale, I always like to say, you know, what are you taking from our call today? You know, what are you really taking for yourself? How are you feeling? It's another opportunity for the prospect, now client, to integrate. It's another opportunity for them to feel seen, heard, and loved by me, for them to not feel like I'm rushing off the phone right after they said yes, right? And then I'll just end with letting them, again, know how excited I am, and I can't wait to start to work together. That's the one-call process. The two-call process, you'd still get to the point of, would you be interested in learning more about how we could work together? They say yes. But from there, then you say, great, so here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to send you information. And the information has all of the numbers and the pricing and, you know, if there's different levels, all the different levels and options. And, you know, so you can really have some time to take it in and look through it. Now, I often give, just so you guys know, like, I, not always, but I oftentimes have a program guide, if it's for private work, where I go through the different, there, all the different bridge pieces are in there. There's a note from me, and then it has all of the different calls and prices and all of that. You don't necessarily need to have that, but sometimes if you're doing a two-call process, it's nice. If you have stuff written on your website, you can just direct them to your website. But I'll say, you know, I want you to take this information, print it out. And the reason why I ask you to print it out is even though I like to save paper, I don't want you to read it in front of the computer. I want you to really take it to a place that's sacred for you, a place where you can really be with it, because this is a sacred decision. It's an important decision. And, you know, in front of the computer, we're distracted by email and social media and all the things, and I want you to really have time for you. And please, you know, take it, read through, circle, star, underline, anything that really resonates for you as you're reading through. And again, this is, you guys, if you have a program guide, right? But if not, or, you know, if they can print out the sales page, but, you know, if it's not, if you don't have a big, like a guide or anything like that, then obviously no printout. But anyway, and then I'll say, and then what I want to invite you to do is to do some homework. Are you up for doing some homework? And always, almost always, the person is going to say yes. Now, just so you guys understand the kind of motivational reason for this homework, as I said earlier, the homework is going to help go deeper into the gap, the vision, the bridge, the desire, look, you know, if there are resistances, looking at resistances. It was also going to help the prospect be even more invested in the relationship with you, because now they're doing homework and now they're going to get on a second call, right? So there's like, there's more of the relationship is being created here. So anyway, they say yes, they want to do the homework, and then I give them a homework assignment. And the homework assignment is usually, it's just mirrors almost like the conversation. So, I'll, you know, maybe give them, it'll vary person to person, but generally I'll give them some journaling to do. And generally what the journaling conversations look like are, number one, like write out the vision that you have for yourself. We already discussed a lot of it on this call together, but there's more details there. I want to invite you to just let it all come out on the page. Really give yourself permission to write all that you want for yourself. And then the next question from there, I want you to answer why. Why do you want this for yourself? Why is this vision important for you? The what is important, but the why behind it is even more important. And, you know, they may or may not have realized that already on the call you've touched on the why, right? With Jamie, it was that fulfillment piece. Was a piece of the why, right? And the purpose, all of that. And then usually the next question that I give them after that, I also type this out for them, and you guys will get a template with all of this. You know, the next question I usually ask them is, how do you sense if we were to work together that I could help you achieve your vision, right? So that's just building back the bridge and the belief and all of that. And then the last question that I always ask, this is an important question, I say, I want you to list out any fears, doubts, or concerns that you have about achieving your vision. But I don't want you to just list out the fears, the doubts, the concerns. I want you to really ask yourself, are you willing to let that fear or that doubt go? And if you are, I want you to affirm that for yourself. Now, you don't need to know how to let the fear go. That's part of the work that we'll do together. But it is important that you're willing to let it go. Because if you are going to cling on to your fear of not being good, and you know, whatever it is that came up in the conversation, right? I'm really good at what I do, but I'm not going to, I can't help you do anything that you are not willing, right? And that's usually such a powerful moment for the prospect, for so many reasons. So number one, it just like, it starts to address resistances. We're going to get into a whole other section of addressing resistances in a little bit. But when you give them this homework, it's just like, it's just, we're not afraid of the resistances, right? Like, you're actually bringing the resistances into the mix, and just to name them, right? So that they're not swirling around in their head as these like unnamed evil things. But then this question of like, are you willing to let it go, right? It's usually not resistance. I don't ask in that homework like resistance to investing or resistance to working with me. It's a resistance to achieving the goal. That's usually the most important resistance, truly. And then I'll say to them, you know, I'll send you an email with all of this homework. And then we'll meet in 2 or 3 days. It'll be shorter than today, and you can share with me everything that came through the homework and then your decision about moving forward. Guys, I'm sorry, I forgot an important piece. After the resistance, the last piece of the homework that I usually say is, and then after you do all of that writing, put the writing aside, take a moment and connect in with yourself and with your inner wisdom, and ask yourself, is this program right for me? Or is Joanna, working with Joanna, right for me? And I want you to know that I 100% trust your heart and your inner wisdom, and I'm not attached to outcome at all. And then we'll schedule a time for us to meet in 3 days, right? And so we get that second call on the calendar. And then I'll say to the person, like, how does all of that feel to you? And usually the person will be like, oh, my God, that feels so great. I'm so excited to do that homework. And they feel relief that they don't have to make the decision right then and there. And then before we wrap, I always ask them about what they're taking away from the conversation, similar to what I modeled before. Okay, let's pause here. Know that if what you've got rolling around in your head is, well, what if people say it's too expensive or what happened, you know, we're going to get there, I promise. But I want to hear what questions you have on all I just shared or what you're seeing that feels important around the two magic questions that I mentioned, and then moving either to make the sale or into that two-call process. Tina.
Hi, Joanna. I'm so happy you're going over this. Oh, my gosh. So I've been doing the two-sale call process, and I think I've been making some mistakes where I've been going over the program pricing in the first call, and I think it overwhelms the client.
Yeah.
So would you – you know what I mean? So, like, would you suggest that – I just go over the steps that you mentioned, like, you know, the intention, you know, all the things you mentioned today, and then ask them, would you be interested in learning more? Okay, and then I tell them about my program, like what I specifically take them through, not the modalities, right?
Right, that
and
would
then,
be in the bridge. That's before what
oh,
you're interested
okay,
in learning
okay.
more.
So oh,
you
I
take
see,
them
see.
Through the bridge. You ask
okay.
them what's resonating, would you be interested in learning more? And they say yes. Now, especially if you know that your people are tending to get overwhelmed with the pricing on that call, you want to do the second call and you don't want to say the price on the call. But to ease people's fears around the price, you say, I'm going to send you information and it's going to have all of the numbers. I know you're curious and it'll all be there for you, right? And then you go into all of that rest of that homework. That I was talking
okay,
about.
Now my question is this. Should I put the monthly payment plans on the pricing sheet?
Yes, 100%.
Okay.
What I said before, because for people that can't afford paid in full,
right.
the paid in full number is like a freak out number.
Exactly.
But when they see it broken, they see the number broken down monthly, it's so much more better and doable. You absolutely want that on there.
Okay. See, I wasn't doing that. No wonder people were like, I'm not going to sign up for your $2,000 or $1,500 program. You know?
Yeah, this will help a lot. Yeah.
And then the second call, you go over again, checking in if my program feels right for you. And then you go over, okay, like what program, you know, feels like a fit for you? How can I meet you on this? Or, I mean, I don't know. What
I'll
the
get,
words are.
Yes, in a minute,
okay.
I'll get to all of the details of the second call and also resistance that can come up in the second call.
Okay, thank you
call.
So much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm glad. I'm glad all of that is coming
to
awareness.
This is so helpful. I've been doing it all backwards. It's all good. It's all good.
I'm so glad. Okay, good. Who else? Any other questions or anything else you want to share that you're seeing that feels important here for you? Mary Lou.
Oh, thank you, Joanna. Yeah, again, so let's say you're saying that we leave them with that magic question and then refer them to the webpage or something like that?
So once they've answered yes, that they're interested, and I believe all of this is in the script that you guys either should have already or will be getting, but once they say yes, then from there you say, great, I'm so happy that you're interested. Because I would love to share more with you, and either what I just modeled with Tina, like, so I'm going to send you information, and it has all the numbers and all the different options and all the things, or if you have it on your website, you can say, I'm going to send you a link. It has all the different numbers and the options and, you know, all the different things. And I want you to take some time to really look at it, take it away from the computer, really be in that sacred space. You know, all the things I just modeled a few minutes ago, and then sharing the homework, asking them if they're up for homework and giving them those homework questions.
Right.
That makes sense?
It does. My concern then becomes, well, what when they look at the page and go, oh, my gosh, there's no way I can afford that, and then we're not there to coach them through that.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then so when you do the second call, they won't answer or they'll cancel and go, oh, sorry. You know what I mean? Because it's too embarrassing to admit.
Right. So there's a couple of things. So number one, you're already scheduling that second call before you get off the phone. Number two, the homework really helps.
Okay.
Number three, if you know that your prospect will have the tendency to maybe get sticker shock and freak out and not show up, then there's one of two things that you can do. Number one, you just work that in. And so you say, I'm going to send you all of the information. Now here's the thing. For some people, when they initially look at the pricing, they go into sticker shock. And I just want you to know, if that happens for you, it's okay. Plenty of people that have initially gone into sticker shock, they still end up signing up if it's right for them. So if that happens for you, I just really want to invite you to notice the resistance or notice the fear. But are you willing to still do the homework anyway and show up for the call? You know, so you just name the resistance right there and let them know what to do with it. The other option is, if you know your people are bound to go into sticker shock, and by the way, I just want to say to everybody, if you've done everything that we're talking about, people are way less likely to go into sticker shock because they see the value. They see where they really don't want to be. They see where they really do want to be. They can see a clear way to get what they want. Most of the time, when people say, when a prospect says, it's too expensive, what they're actually saying, not every time, because sometimes what that actually means is I don't have enough money in the bank. Sometimes that is the truth, but most of the time, when somebody says, it's too expensive, what that actually means, whether they realize it or not, is I don't believe that I can achieve this goal, and therefore that price feels like too much to pay for something that I can't achieve or for something that I'm not excited about if you haven't activated vision correctly. This is an important point that I really want everybody to take in. It's too expensive every now and again, and we have to honor if it is true that it's not in the bank account, of course, right? But most of the time, it's too expensive or I don't have enough time means I'm not willing to invest that much money or that much time in something that I'm not quite sure is going to happen or in something that I'm not totally excited about happening. But that being said, if you back to like, you know, if they, you know that they may go into sticker shock, so the first thing is to, you can just work that in, like I modeled for you, or you may want to share the price with them on the call, and let the resistances come up there and work with them then and there, and then either move towards the sale or still give the homework and move towards the second call. And I'll get in a few minutes into how to work with resistances as they come up. But is that helpful, Mary Lou, as some options to think about?
It is. And so you're also suggesting that if they do make that claim that the price is either too high or they haven't the time to invest, it's to a large extent also our ability to have activated the deeper desire and also their belief in themselves. Is that what she's suggesting?
Exactly. That's why you want to do everything that we've been talking about today on the call up until that point. Like you really want to activate the gap. You really want to activate the vision. You really want to articulate like a beautiful and appealing bridge. All of those things help so much to get so that it doesn't feel expensive because if the person then really wants the vision and they really believe that they can achieve it and they really believe that you can help them, the money piece shifts. Not in every situation, but it really helps a lot.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It helps. Yes, a lot of sense. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good. Any other cues? Where we're going next is speaking to resistance. Anyone else? Okay. All right. So, dun, dun, dun. Resistance. if you're doing a two-call process where money or time or timing resistance is going to come up is on that second call, because they haven't seen the money piece or even some of the time piece, you know, time needed to invest in the work until you've sent them the information. If you're doing a one-call process, if resistance is going to come up, it will come up after you tell them the price and what's involved. Now, I want to say a couple of things. Number one, in a lot of situations, if you do what we've been talking about today, in many situations, if you do what we've been talking about today, like I shared with Mary Lou, it's just the resistance at that point is not going to come up. Their excitement and their desire and their belief that they can achieve will trump the resistance at that point, and they will be ready to sign up. I see it happen over and over and over and over and over again. However, that being said, there are still situations where you've created a beautiful rapport and energetics and container and activated gap really well and activated vision really well and articulated the bridge really well and all the things, and the person is ideal, but still resistance will come up. And the major resistances are about money, about time, meaning how much time it will take to do the work, timing, which is not the right time for me, and then sometimes it will have the doozy resistance is the partner. Like, I want to do this, but my partner doesn't want me to do this. Anyway, you can do all the things really well. Person can be ideal, but sometimes those resistances will still come up. Here is the first and most important thing about this that I want you to know. if those resistances come up, it does not mean that you're not meant to work with the person and that you're not going to work with the person. It doesn't mean that at all. Most of the time, when those resistances come up, it just means that your prospect is a human being who's experiencing fear. And when people experience fear, the reaction is resistance. Anyone who is about to step in to a growth process, which is what your work with them is in one way or another going to have some fear. Like, they want the growth so much, but they also fear, we all fear, right? What it's going to take, or what it's going to mean, or is it going to work, or like all the things, right? And then that's where the resistance comes in. I share this with you so that you don't freak out if someone has resistance, so that you don't feel like, that's it, I blew it, it's not going to happen, so that you don't feel like it's pushy if you work with them in their resistance. None of those things. It is sometimes just part of the process. Now, again, if you do all the other pieces that we've been talking about, hopefully it'll mitigate a lot of that. But in some cases, the fear is still bigger, right? And so if it comes up, your energetics are bar none. If the resistance for the prospect comes up and you freak out about it, you get scared about it, you whatever about it, unequal playing, any of the things, you're not going to be able to walk them through the resistance. If the resistance comes up and you're like, oh, well, this is part of the process, it's normal, right? Then it's that much easier. Now, here's the other thing I want to say, and I mentioned this a little bit before. There are certain situations, if we are in integrity entrepreneurs, then we need to also know that there are certain situations, most are not going to be, but that there are certain situations where the resistance is legitimate. So I will not take on a client that just literally, like, does not have the money or the resources and cannot. As much as I know, as much as they tell me, sometimes I don't know, right? But if they're like, I do not have the money in my bank account, I'm not going to go tell them to get a loan, right? Sometimes the time piece is legitimate, right? If I'm talking to someone and they're super ideal and I know I can help them in all the things, but they have a full-time job and a newborn and all the things, I'm like, they may not have the space to build their business, right? That might be legitimate. Maybe. You want to do some digging and looking, right? Or timing. Somebody just passed away or whatever it is, right? So we want to be in integrity. Now, we don't want our value of being in integrity to get, like, out of mix with our fear and then have us back down when resistance is just resistance. But we do want to be aware of that. So, all that being said, if someone comes, if you're doing the one call sale and the resistance comes up, or you're doing the two call process, resistance comes up, and you've determined that it's not a legitimate out of integrity thing, right? Then what you want to do is welcome the resistance and lean into it. The only way to the other side is through. You want to welcome it and lean into it. What a lot of people do, which is a mistake, is they either, like, the resistance comes up and they get scared. They do the opposite of leaning in. They, like, run away from it. They just let it go. Well, you're not going to make the sale that way. And the person may really need the support, right? Or the other thing is they kind of get, like, really pushy and try to just give all the reasons why the prospect should do it anyway. And that's no good either, right? We don't want to convince anyone. Instead, we want to lean in. We lean in by getting by welcoming the resistance, by knowing that it's normal for the resistance to come up, allowing it to be in the container, and by getting curious about it. Okay, so this is where I can't give you an exact formula of say this, but I can give you some pointers, right? Because for those of you that are in sacred depths, you know I always teach, you always coach the what based on the who, and there's so many different whos, like there's so many different situations with different things, but I'm going to give you all of the foundational pieces here to work with this, right? I've already started. So if you're going to welcome it, allow it, know that it's normal, create space for it, and get curious about it, it might sound something like this. So let's say you get to the second, let's say you're doing a two-call process. By the way, in it, just to take a step back, two-call process, you give them that homework, you schedule the second call, you send them that day, you know, it's always best that day or early the next day, send them the homework via email and confirmation. And I'll give you a template for all of that and going deeper into the connection and all the things. And then confirmation of the second call. You get on the second call. And where you want to go first is setting intentions again. I like to set intentions, and I say, you know, let's set intentions just like we did on the first call. And my intention for this call is for us to reconnect, for us to connect even more deeply. I'm really looking forward to hearing what came through in the homework. And as you've been meditating on working together, and so my intention is to really hold space for all of that, to hold space for any questions or concerns that you have, and to hold space for you to make the choice that is best for you. Right, so I'm just setting the tone there. Number one, that we're either going to make the sale or not on this call. This isn't going to go on forever, right? I'm saying it in very nice ways. I'm letting them know that this is still an exploratory space. That's not the right word. This is a warm space. This is a loving space. And that I'm not attached, right? I'm holding the space for them to make a decision that's in their highest good, that's best for them. And then you'll ask for their intention. And by the way, when they give you their intention, eight times out of 10, you're going to know right then and there if they're going to buy, if they're going to have resistance or not. Because they, if they're ready at that point, they're going to be like, I'm so excited to reconnect and share what I saw and sign up, right? But if not, they may say, like, you know, my intention is for us to reconnect and, you know, I have some fears come up and blah, 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 right? Whatever it is. So you'll reflect back to them. Now, if they don't talk about fears come up or whatever it is, the next question you're going to ask on that call is what came through in the homework. And again, if they're ready to buy, it will be all good things come through the homework, ready to buy. If resistance came up, they'll still talk about good things that came through the homework, but you'll see the resistance there, right? Either way, whenever the resistance comes up, if it's going to come up, it may not, right? But if it comes up, let's say the person says, like, I love this, and this, but I feel like I'm nervous about the money and I'm not sure if I can afford it, you know, and I'm feeling fear around that, right? So you want to remember that it's normal, right? First, your energetics. Remember that it's normal. Allow it into the space. And get curious, right? And so you may respond to that, like, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I totally hear you. I've been in a place before where I really wanted to step into something, and it's felt like a lot of money. And I know for myself, sometimes it really just is a closed case of there isn't enough money. But a lot of other times, the money piece is coming up because there are some other fears or concerns about stepping into the work. If that resonates with you, you know, would you be open to just exploring that together a little bit? I'm not attached at all to outcome. I totally honor whatever decision you make, but I do feel like it's my job to support you to make the best decision for you. And if there's any fear, I'd love to take a look at that with you. When you respond in this kind of way, right, in this way that's not running away from the fear, but also not trampling and trying to push through and convincing and whatever it is, for some people that are totally, totally so deep into it, you know, it may not be enough, right? But for many people, I would say for most people, it creates permission to be willing to look, to be willing to explore, right? And if you can create that permission and create that opening, you actually, if you've got good coaching skills, like, you know, creating, you know, a holding container and listening, creating awareness, like all the different things I teach in Sacred Depths and Befriend Your Fear and all the things, you have a really good chance of actually walking them through the other side of the resistance. And so usually when I say this, people will say, yeah, I am willing to look. You know, if they say they're not willing, then they're just not willing, right? They're either too deep in their resistance or it's really not right for them. But truly, again, most people will say that they're willing to look. And then you've got permission, right, to really look with them. So at that point, you know, again, and this is where I can't give you an exact formula. It's going to just depend so much on the person and what they've already shared with you and, you know, in the first and second call, whatever it is. But, you know, you're going to want to ask questions that will help create awareness for the prospect to see that the fear is natural. It's part of the process. And also, and this is important, usually any fear or resistance that comes up in the sales process is related to a big block or resistance in their actual life, in the thing that they actually want to achieve and why they've come to you in the first place. I'm going to say that again because it's really important. It's the pattern that has been in their way in the outside world. The block or the patterning that has stood in their way in the outside world is usually the resistance that's going to come up when they say yes, to saying yes to working on the thing. So sometimes it's not exactly apples to apples, but there's a relationship. So, for example, usually someone who is like, it feels really expensive, and I don't know if I can justify spending this money on this thing, right? Let's say it's to activate their creativity or whatever it is, right? Usually, you know, 9 times out of 10, one of the reasons, one of the big blocks that they're having to their creativity in the first place is that there's a part of them that feels that they don't deserve it, or there's not enough time for it, or it's not valuable enough to devote time and energy to it. Right? So if you can, in this exploration, start to make those connections, ask some questions so that they can see the patterning, it's going to be big light bulb moments for them. And it can oftentimes help them move through their resistance. So all that being said, when someone says, yeah, I'm open to exploring, again, no formula, but, you know, depending on who, what, where, like all the things, you know, one place you can go is, you know, so tell me more, like what are, I understand that there's a fear of money, but talk to me about some of the other fears. You know, what are some of the pieces that are coming up for you here? What is it that feels so scary, right? And oftentimes you can start to work with how they answer, start to create those connections to the bigger piece. Or, you know, for those of you that know the Befriend Your Fear process, you can even go in and help them find the wisdom from the fear. But you want to, you know, just really go in and see if you can help them create awareness, essentially around why the fear is coming up, and how it relates to the bigger patterns in their life, and what the higher wisdom is for them, or connect them back to the desire for them, and then have them choose, right? Like, do they want the desire, or does the fear feel bigger? And there's no judgment there, right? There's no shame there. But if you can create awareness around all of that, you'll be able to get very far. Okay, let me pause here. I'm sure there's questions on this. So star two, what can I help you with? What are you seeing, or what do you have questions with? Alana.
So this is a really slippery part for me, because I really feel, and I've been on the end of, I think knowing whether someone's resistance is legitimate for them and true for them, or they may be, or it's not a right fit, and
yeah.
Then knowing if it's like a fear or something that you can support them with feels very tricky, because it feels like you are, and I appreciate the way that you've laid it out, but still my gut feeling is like it feels intrusive, and it feels like I'm entering into their sovereign territory. And that's sort of what the capitalist model teaches us to do all the time. And it really, I've been on the receiving end of that, I just didn't have the courage to say, I don't think this is a good fit. So I sort of like, you know, with somebody who's offering me something, I don't have the courage to just, because I'm a people pleaser, so I don't want to hurt their feelings.
Right.
So then I end up, it goes, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm so glad you're
really,
bringing it.
But I feel like it's so hard to discern. I mean, even in myself as the prospect, or you know, somebody else is the prospect. Anyway, it just feels like I get very anxious when I get into this part of the conversation.
I totally hear you, and I'm so glad you're bringing it up. And so here, I'll toss this to you. I think this might be helpful for you. Be totally transparent in all of that. So what I mean by that, if like resistance comes up and you're not sure, say all of that, what you just said to me, to the person, and then say, and so I really honor if you want to take a look at this or not, and I promise I'm not going to be pushy, and I'm not attached, and I want you to make the decision from your wisdom, and I will not be insulted if you do not want to, right? Like, just say all of those things. Be you, Alana. Be your authentic, this is called authentic enrollment conversations, be your authentic transparent self. How would something like that feel?
Terrifying also.
What's the fear in that?
Like, oh, I'm going to, like, I think the scarcity fear comes in.
Ah, so then it's back to the not being attached, right? You can only do this if you're not attached. Only if you're not attached. So again, that doesn't mean you don't want to make the sale, but don't go making up stories about what this means for your future self or your business or your work, right? Because you're right, you can't. It is very hard to be that bold and that transparent and all of that if you're making up stories about what's going to happen, you know, where the outcome is going to be.
Okay.
All right, but I really, and especially because I know you, like I think just be, as much as you can, be vulnerable in it. I think your prospects are going to appreciate it. They're going to see your heart. And quite honestly, I think it's going to help make the sale. I really do.
Mm.
For the people that it's right for.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're bringing that forward. I can feel like you're thinking about it. You're starting to buy into it, but not totally. And I want to give you like the homework, if you're willing to listen to that the next, you know, if it comes up on a call.
You like need to practice that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you for bringing that question forward. It's a really good one. Who else? Star two. We're starting to reach the end of our day, so this is a great moment for any questions on resistance or any questions that you have just overall on anything we've covered today. Mary Lou.
Yeah, this is just a really practical question. I mean, I don't know anybody who doesn't have resistance. What happens if I get triggered as the person who's trying to hold that space? Do you got any advice or strategies around that?
Yeah, so first preventative strategies, right? So all of the work that we did at the beginning of the day, working with the fear, your own fears, you know, reminding yourself to not be attached, and, you know, all of that is going to help so, 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 so much. But it's still, even if you do all of that, like, it could be that you get triggered in the moment when it comes up on the call. And if it does, first thing is, and I think everybody that's here is able to do that, first and most important thing is to become aware that you're triggered. So triggers do the most damage when we're not aware that we're triggered, when our higher understanding can't see it. But because we are having this whole conversation today, and because I know the people I attract to my work, like, you'll know, and I want you to catch yourself in it. Say, oh, I'm triggered right now. And then from there, you know, take a deep breath, if you know, and just, like, it's okay to pause after someone says they have resistance. Like, you can pause for a few moments, take a deep breath, and remember, and this is why I keep on saying it on the call today, resistance is normal. It is just normal. And if the prospect is in resistance, it doesn't mean anything about you. And it doesn't even yet mean anything about whether or not they're going to buy. It just means that you're a human being, that they're a human being that is having a reaction to their fear. So I want you to remember that. And then from there, this is really important, and you can do this all, by the way, in a few moments. The next piece is, I want you to connect into your heart. You can even put a hand on your heart, remember your heart, and remember your love, and I want you to remember your love for yourself, and I also want you to cultivate even deeper love for the person on the other end of the conversation, like love and compassion all around. When you can have love and compassion for somebody else's resistance, then it takes the trigger out of it. You can see them as a human being that's having, you know, resistance or a hard moment. You can, and you can bring that curiosity, that loving curiosity that I was talking about a little bit ago. How does that land for you?
That's really great. It's such a nice antidote to what I'm usually feeling.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's like we get taken straight out of our hearts when we go into our, you know, when that happens. So we want to remember our hearts, our love for ourselves, and our love for the other human being that we have the privilege of being in conversation with in that moment. You know, and that, Alana, you know, back to, like, you and what you were just asking, like, remembering that it's a miracle, like, the conversation itself is a miracle, right? No matter what happens. So we want to be in that energy. Thank you, Mary Lou, for bringing that forward. Jamie.
I wanted to ask about, do you prep them that there's going to be two parts to the call? Like, how do you go in?
I don't say it beforehand. We go through GAP and Vision and Bridge, And that's when I share, you know, I'm going to give you all the information and this homework, and then we'll set a short follow-up call.
Okay. Cool.
If I'm going to do that two-call process, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, good. Tina, did you just have your hand up? Are you there? No? Okay. Did someone just raise their hand and I lowered it by mistake? Oh, maybe it was Mary Lou. Did you have your hand up, Mary Lou? Are you there? Can you guys hear me?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I have another question. Okay,
yeah.
So what if another resistant question, if the prospect says, I really want to do it, I would really, you know, I just, what am I going to do if it doesn't work? What if it doesn't work?
Mm-hmm. What would be
what if
your...
you can't help me? What if
yeah.
I can't, you know, because I have such a
yeah.
history and record and pattern of failure.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that question. So let me ask you, what would be your honest and in integrity answer there, where you're in your power, but you're fully in your honesty and you're in integrity, respecting yourself and the prospect?
I guess I would say, well, what would it mean? How will we know, right? Or do you want to find out if it's really possible, and what would it mean if we didn't
yeah.
find out?
Yeah, I love that. I love that so much. What I would add to that is there may be a piece right before you get to those questions. I loved all of those questions you just asked. And you see if this feels right for you. This may or may not. But if it were me, I may say, like, I'm so glad that you're bringing this up. And I don't have a crystal ball. And I also want to be really honest with you and say, I don't know. Because there's no way of guaranteeing, there's no way of knowing if this will hold or this will work. What I do know is that because you are, and I would name the qualities and the resources that they have that make you think that they will be successful in it, because you are this, that, resilient, you know, the other thing, and if you've worked with other clients on it, and because I've seen other clients work in this way, I do feel pretty confident that a lot of transformation is going to happen. But again, I can't promise. And so that being said, and then I would ask the question, those beautiful questions that you just came up with, Mary Lou.
Okay.
How would that feel?
Wonderful. Thank you for bridging those gaps.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Alana.
So kind of just discerning between the one-call, two-call process, and I guess a two-call process is more for like a large investment.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a large investment, let's say for us, like half, I guess my fear with the two-call process is, like, they'll just go away. Like, you know what I mean? It's like when I have them and they're engaged.
Yeah.
And then if you do name the price and then somebody says, okay, I need to think about that, then can you initiate a two-call even though you were sort of intending to do a one-call?
100%. It's so easy to then shift into the two-call, and you can absolutely do it that way. You can name the price, and, you know, if there's resistance comes up or you can tell they need time, then just move into the homework, you know? And the two-call process, and it can be very...
But the homework is going to be in the program, or you actually tell them what the homework is on the
I
call?
I tell them what it is, and then I follow up with an email where I write out what I told them. I type out.
Okay. And would you be willing to send an example of a program guide just so we could have that as a model?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Thanks.
Let me make a note.
For maybe not your hugest program, but like your maybe smaller or medium one.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 100%. I'll make sure that gets in the member center. Yeah, you're welcome. Tina.
Yeah.
Hi, Joanna. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So just two quick questions. The first one I have is I've had clients get super excited about the first strategy call, or I like to call it a soul activation call. And then, you know, I'll schedule the follow-up, and they don't show up for the follow-up. And I don't, you know, I don't like to chase people. I feel like, well, they're not interested. So what do you do, you know, when they're all psyched up on the first call and you're like, okay, I'll send you my price sheet and, you know, we can chat and go further with each other in a week or 2 or 3 days. And then they cancel. I mean, I've had this happen so many times for the second follow-up call. And I'll reach out and say, is everything okay? Would you like to get on the call with me? And they literally don't answer, or they'll, like, email me later, like, I'm just, you know, I it's just not the right time right now. You know what I mean? I don't know.
A couple of things. Again, like, I think you found so many tweaks today to make the gap vision bridge that I really – and in how you share the information, you know, all of those tweaks, I think, are going to make a really big difference. My sense and my hope and my feeling is that much fewer people will. But that being said, they're still, right, that might come up. So if that's the case, if you see that even with all the tweaks that you're noticing today, that it still comes up a lot, then go to, I forget who asked the question, but just share on the first call the pricing, you know, or even what Alana just said, like share the call on share the pricing on the first call, and then if you need to move to a second call, but at least you're working with resistance right there. Or I think it was Mary Lou, I was sharing, work that in when you give the homework, say like, you might go into resistance. You may not want to show up for the second call. You know, just, like, say all the things. Mm-hmm. Normalize it. But tell them, like, you know, are you willing to still do the homework? And just show up for that second call. I'm not going to push you into anything, but I do want us to really finish the process no matter what. I mean, saying it that way makes it seem like they're going to – you don't want to push them into thinking that it's going to be awful and all of that. You can modulate that a little bit. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, just work it in there.
I see.
Okay, so you and then even if you do all of those things, right, like some people just have a lot of resistance, even if – so then it still could happen maybe, right? So then that's when if they send the email, you know, no or, you know, whatever it is, when I used to teach this, I used to say, like, do whatever you can to get them on the call, and I had different templates for, like, all the things, but I've kind of, over the years, changed my thinking about that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you have done a really, really good job, like, everything we've been talking about, gap, vision, bridge, you know, all the ways that you've given the homework, speaking, you know, all the things. If someone does cancel, I will respond right away very lovingly, and I'll say, I'm so sorry to hear that. I felt like we were so connected, and I heard that you really are so ready for blah, right, whatever their vision is. I totally honor if you don't want to continue the process, but I just want you to know I would love to just reconnect, even if you end up not stepping in, just so that we can finish this process together and you can feel good about it. You know, strings attached. You know, would you be open to doing that? I would love to do that, right? And then whatever happens from there happens from there. If they don't respond or they don't want, I don't go further into it. Sometimes that's enough to get them back on the phone, and then you're back in the game, you know? If you do all of the other things that we're talking about, it's not going to happen as much.
Okay.
I feel really confident that I can say that. And then you can see from there, you know, if it does, how you want to play it. Is that helpful?
Yeah, that's really helpful. So just to recap, just because I learned by reciting back to somebody, I would just basically, if I'm feeling that they are the type that has resistance on, you know, the first call, I could work the resistance into the homework and also, you know, state it and say, you know, if this comes up, you know, write about your fears, la, 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 la. And then, you know, if they don't show up for any reason, for the second call, I can just, you know, lovingly respond with a follow-up text or email, maybe not both because that's a little pushy, but maybe one or the other, right? And just say, you know, I'd love to just reconnect regardless so that we can finish our first connection. I mean, I don't know how to phrase it. But
yeah, so, you know, again, I would just say, like, I totally honor, you know, whatever decision you make. You know, I just felt so connected to you, and I really heard that you were ready to, and then name the result, right? See if you can reactivate a little bit of vision. And if I just want you to know that I would love to hold our call time, even if you don't step in, just so that we can connect on, you know, what came through the homework, what you're really seeing, and even if we're not working together, like what you know your next steps are to be able to create what you want.
That's really
like
beautiful.
That. Yeah, and again, some people still may not go for it. This is an art, not a science, and human beings are human beings. You know, like anybody that tells you I have the sales process that is going to convert every single prospect is lying, right? It may get you back in the game.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, no, I still appreciate you. I mean, I feel so much better just going through this process with just going over everything, you know, and then, like, having just, you know, some things to tweak and try. Thank you so much, Joanna. I really feel so blessed to know you and everyone on the call.
Thank you. Back at you. I know we're at time, but we have one more question. I'm going to take it. Jamie.
I wanted to ask, how do you leave it with people who they're like, you're on the second call and they're totally still in their resistance and they need more time? Or do you try to get like an empowered no from people, or do you set up a third call ever with certain people, or just kind of how do you do that?
Yeah. So again, it's an art, not a science. So I can't give you, like, this is what you do every time. The first thing I do is I just try to intuit in. If I feel like the person just really does need more time, or if it's just like a stalling, time-wasting mechanism and they're just not in, you know. So I try to intuit my best that I can. And if I feel like it's just not, they're not ready, then I just really honor that, you know, and I don't say, like, goodbye forever, but I won't set up the third call. I'll just let them sit with it and say, you know, get in touch with me. You know, I know that at some point we'll work together. I really hope it's sooner than later. I'll for sure check in on you, you know, and get back to me, or you know, be in touch with me, you know, as things progress. If it's someone that I feel like they really are in, they're like 80% or more in, 85% or more in, but they just truly do need a little more time, or sometimes people need a little time to, like, rearrange money or rearrange schedule or whatever it is, then I will set up a third call and, you know, just extend that container out to give them the time that they need. So it's kind of more of like a feeling into it thing.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Awesome, thanks. Yeah, totally.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. All right. I want to honor our time. I want to thank all of you for all that you brought forward today, and those of you that I heard from and those of you that were listening, I hope you got exactly what you needed. We're going to have our follow-up Q&A call in a few weeks, and hopefully that will give you time to start practicing, testing out some of these things, write your script and, you know, whatever questions will come up through all of that. We'll have an hour of Q&A and to go deeper into all of these pieces. You should already have a script for you to personalize and some templates. I'll send that program guide. You've got your homework of not just personalizing, but, you know, looking, identifying some of those bridge pieces. So before we wrap, just the last thing, I want you to take a moment and write down for yourself, what is it that you're really taking away for yourself from this call? I know you've gotten a lot of information today. Less about the information, more on like a higher level. What are you really taking away for yourself? Whatever it is that you're taking away, I would want to honor our time. Usually I would ask for shares, but if you want to email me or Facebook message me or whatever it is, I'd love to hear what you're taking away. And I'm really just excited for all of you to go out and experiment with all of this and work with all of this and for us to reconnect in a few weeks. So that being said, I'm just sending you all off with a lot of love and sending my energy for your confidence in your sales. Keep me posted. Let me know how things go. And I will talk to you soon in a few weeks. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.